The Micro Language Lab, Learning the 6809, is a presentation of Green Mountain Micro.
Hello, and welcome back to the final half of Learning the 6809. The pace will quicken somewhat, so I hope you've given yourself a solid foundation in the essentials of machine language programming that I presented in the first half of this course. The topic this session is timing. That's the careful organization of computer instructions to perform tasks at a known speed. Unlike mechanical timers or ordinary clocks, the computer operations you can be certain of actually simplify this timing task. You're certain of the clock speed, that is, the number of fixed pulses per second by which the processor completes its instructions. And you can identify the specific number of those clock cycles each instruction requires, since this is consistent, and the full information is provided with the data booklet. Now, you may not be as impressed as I am with this concept, but consider that all the real-world interfacing of the computer depends on some sort of timing. Here are just a few of those interfacing tasks. There's communication with a printer, which is timed. A printer connected to the color computer expects precisely 600 binary digits per second. Secondly, cassette input and output are astoundingly precise. Not only is the timing of the binary digits critical, but the shape of the sound's wave recorded on the tape is important. Care in these timings overcomes the inherently poor quality of portable cassette recorders. Keyboard input even uses timing, as the metal contacts of the keys close, come together and make contact. A little electromechanical bouncing takes place. This bounce must be timed through so as not to produce unwanted double or triple characters on the screen. Now, basic sound commands use frequency information in order to produce proper musical pitches. Those are only four examples, and they're the most obvious. Subtle kinds of timing permeate machine language programming. I'd like to start with the simplest kind of timing, the delay loop. No doubt you've used four next loops in BASIC to time such things as screen presentations and in-keystring input. Another interesting use of delay loops is for simplified communications timing. In the example I've got for you this time, it's used for sending fast and accurate Morse code. Now, Morse code might be a little of an anachronism in this computer era, but it's interesting and I think a bit of fun. First, conceptualize the problem and establish some parameters. Morse code is that pattern of long and short beeps that has been used for over a century to communicate across telegraph wires and via radio. In this example, the code might be sent from the keyboard or it might be sent from a prepared, edited message. Also, you've got to establish the speed of code transmission and choose the pitch of the beep. And finally, the character set to be used must be selected, that is, the whole set, the ASCII set we use, or just the alphabetic characters. Let's take the last first, and say that the entire 6-bit ASCII character set should be used. Those are numbers and uppercase letters and punctuation. And let's set the beep at a clear 1,000 hertz, that's 1,000 cycles or vibrations per second. And finally, establish the transmission speed at about 10 words per minute. Before actually programming these last two items, the words per minute and the vibrations per second, keep in mind that it might be wise to make both the beep frequency and the transmission speed flexible so they can be changed by the operator to match the circumstances. Now to the concept. It seems to break down into a few simple steps coupled with some crucial subroutines. It looks like this. A message is found somewhere in memory. The code for each character is located in a table of Morse codes. After the code is identified, it is used in conjunction with two or three subroutines to produce beeps and silences of the proper timing. Well, I don't know very much about Morse code, but from what I'm told, it consists of short and long beeps known as dits and dahs. A dah is roughly three times as long as a dit, and all beeps are separated by dit-length silences. Letters are separated by da-length silences, and words, when separated at all, are separated by about two or three das. Well, before I get too far ahead with these dits and das, let me play a little bit of professional Morse code. What you just heard was the message, "Hello, how are you?" It's a series of pure, regular beeping tones and silences. You might think that Extended Color Basic has a perfectly adequate group of sound and play commands tailored to this kind of task. Unfortunately, they won't do for a number of reasons. First, the beep length is a fixed multiple of the shortest length. Morse code speeds often fall in between these fixed sound and play beep lengths. Next, the basic programming is very clumsy, using a long array, substantive error checking, and various loops. But worst of all is the slight but distinguishable gargling in the sound, an adulteration of the pure tone with pops and burbles. At first, and especially if you're listening on an inexpensive television, that impurity may be obscured by the limited TV sound, which sometimes contains a little humming and buzzing by itself. But if you listen through a separate amplifier hooked to the cassette output, the unevenness of the sound becomes distinct. Think about those things as you load and run the following basic program.
Find program number 21 in the book and follow the instructions. This is a basic program. Turn this tape off until you are ready to load the program. Turn the tape off now. You should have loaded a basic program. List this program and compare it to program number 21. If it appears correct, please continue with this tape. Otherwise, rewind to the program listing and try again.
You've just heard a basic solution to the problem of transmitting Morse code. For the simplest of purposes, this kind of code transmission might be adequate. But we can do far better in machine language. The timing and control of the sound can be intimately precise, and that annoying gargle will disappear. Well, what do you suppose causes that gargling sound? It seems to be a regularly recurring group of little hiccups as the tone proceeds. In fact, those hiccups are the time it takes the computer to abandon quite briefly the sound program in progress and perform other tasks. It is responding to an interrupt. Practically all microprocessors are provided with electrical connections known as interrupt lines. When these interrupt lines are made to change from 1 to 0 by some external happening, the microprocessor finishes its current instruction. It saves important information and follows special programming instructions in response to the interrupt. It's kind of like one of those drive-up fast food places. We take you now to Sam's Roadside Kitchen in Roadside, New Jersey, where the sign reads, "Honk for Sam's Roadside Drive-Up, service noon to 6 only. Other times, honk at your own risk."
Give me one fries, 2 BLTs, 3 chili dogs. All right, all right. And 1 onion rings. Get those ready. There's a guy out honking that thing like Little Richard. Yeah, what do you have?
3 burgers, 2 fries, a shake.
You want bunny burgers or buddy burgers?
1 bunny burger, 2 buddy burger.
One bunny, 2 bunnies, fries. Hey, where's my order? Anything else, Joe? How about you, Mac?
Well, okay, how about another dog, will you, Marge? With onions and cheese, too.
Cheese, dog, onions!
Order's up.
Hey, where's my steak? And what about the chili dog? Damn! Gotta get that! Yeah, yeah, what do you want?
Give me 3 bunnies, Zenda.
Hey, fella, I'm busy. Sit on it till I get to you. 3 bunnies, what else? And make it quick.
Sure, how about filet mignon, truffles and leeks? Vinaigrette.
In this example, the restaurant was the computer and Marge its microprocessor. The cook and customers served as program and storage memory. The car horn was an interrupt. Recall how Marge finished only the immediate task and then went out to take care of the drive-up customer. In computer terms, that process is called servicing the interrupt. When servicing an interrupt, the computer saves program counter and registers so that all information is intact when it returns from that interrupt and the service routine to finish its previous task. Interestingly, Marge chose to put the honking customer, the third one, on hold while she finished with the second. In that case, the interrupt in progress had a higher priority. Had the third car been an old, favorite customer, perhaps, Marge might have serviced that interrupt first, leaving the current task, the second customer, incomplete until the interrupt service routine was done. Finally, Sam's sign said that drive-up service would be from noon to six only. Other times, honking customers would be ignored. That process is called masking an interrupt. There'll be much more talk about interrupts and how they are used later. Right now, we only want to know how to get them out of the program and out of that Morse code beep. To do that, you have a little reading ahead.
Please read the information on interrupts in the MC6809E data booklet. The condition codes are described at the top of page 6. The vectors are shown in table 1 on page 6, and an explanation is presented in the first column on page 9. Return to the tape when you have completed the reading. Turn the tape off now.
The most important thing you've discovered about interrupts, at least with respect to the Morse code program, is that the interrupts can be turned off, masked, that is, by using the condition code register. Bits 4 and 6 are responsible for interrupts. There must be some way to use logical functions and OR with a condition code register to mask bits 4 and 6 in, or mask bits 4 and 6 out at will. And there is. Turn to the MC6809E data booklet, pages 30 and 31. You'll find that AND-CC is a special-purpose instruction available only in the immediate addressing mode. So is OR-CC on the next page. You might want to check me on paper for what follows. If you wish to set bits 4 and 6 to 1, that is, to turn the interrupts off, you would OR the byte with binary 0101000. Bits 0 through 3, 5, and 7 would remain unaffected. To turn the interrupts on, you need to set bits 4 and 6 to 0. To do that, you would AND the condition code register byte with 10101111. In either case, the original condition codes for carry, negative, zero, half carry, overflow, and E, the entire flag, would be preserved, but bits 4 and 6, the IRQ and fast IRQ interrupts, would be changed. To set interrupts on, then, AND with hex AF. To turn interrupts off, OR with hex 50. You can review this at some time. We'll have much more on it later, so if it's not entirely clear now, don't worry about it. We'll go on. Discussing interrupts has taken this lesson well out of its way. The topic was timing, and specifically the timing necessary to produce pulses of sound in a known order, with a known pitch and at a known speed. I'll turn back to that now. Morse code was a brilliant invention. It provided a compact method of transmitting letters. It was fast because the most used letters, such as E, contained less beeps than the least used letters, such as Q and Z. It accommodated all physical talents because trained operators could send and receive at high speed, whereas novices could still be understood at only a few words per minute. The compactness of Morse code, however, increases the programming difficulty for us. The letter E, a single dit, contrasts with the letter Z, da, da, dit, dit. For this program, the cross-listing of ASCII codes and Morse code has to provide two kinds of information, the pattern of dits and dahs, and also it has to provide the total number of beeps in a letter. The longest character has 5 beeps, which could be stored as 5 bits in a byte. Dits could be represented by zeros and dahs by ones. The remaining 3 bits of the byte could be used to indicate the length of the Morse code character. 1 byte might do the job. For purposes of clarity, this session assumes that Morse code is a maximum of 5 beeps long. For letters and numbers, this is true, but punctuation requires 6 beeps. These exceptions will be handled by modifications to the program in the next session. 5 beeps are assumed here to demonstrate the simplicity of code translation. So, the next question is how to arrange those bits within the byte. The dit-da pattern could go on either side of the byte, as could the number of beeps. But one arrangement makes special sense. Recall that in an earlier lesson, a binary to ASCII conversion was performed. It was always necessary to make sure the nibble was to the right side of the byte to be in proper form. And that's the case here, too. By keeping the rightmost 3 bits reserved for the length of the Morse code, the only work you need to do is mask the leftmost 5 bits to retrieve the original number. Follow me in the book for this. The letter S is dit, dit, dit. Now, according to my suggestion, dit, dit, dit becomes binary pattern 000. The length of S is dit, 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 that's 3 beeps, so the length is binary 011, that's 3. Place the beeps at the left and the length at the right, and you've got the composite byte 000, 2 bits you don't care about, and 011. So 000, and just leave those 00011, that's the byte. By contrast, the letter O is da, da, da. It translates into 111 for the code, da, 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 and again to 011 for the length, which is 3. The composite code is 111-00-011. But even better is what you can do with the encoded beep information at the left of the byte. By rotating the byte to the left, the beep bits drop into the carry flag in head-first order. Dit, da, da, dit, represented by 0110, rotates left and falls into the carry flag in the precise order 0110, or dit, da, da, dit. By using the carry flag as a condition for program branching, the process is assured. The program can branch on no carry to a dit length beep and branch on carry to a da length beep. In actual program form, the message SOS might be encoded like this. An ASCII letter S would be Morse code dit dit dit. ASCII code for S is 53. The Morse binary would be 000-00-011. That would be hex 03. The letter O would be da da da, Morse binary 111-00-011. That would be in hex E3, and then S again would be 03. I'd like to take a break now and draw up a chart of all the ASCII characters and their Morse code equivalents, as shown in the sample I just read. That'll help you understand exactly which way the bits go and what they're used for, and an intimate sense for the way in which this code is being assembled.
On a sheet of paper, list the characters in ASCII order, their Morse code equivalents, their ASCII codes, their Morse binary encoding, and their encoded Morse hexadecimal representation. When you have completed the sheet, return to the tape. Turn the tape off now.
Now you've got a complete cross-reference table in hand, and you understand the general workings of the program you've got to create. Let me review the structure so far. First, you pluck an ASCII value from the message you want to transmit. Next, you find the encoded Morse equivalent in a table. Third, you use the length information of the Morse equivalent in the rightmost three bits as a counter. Fourth, you shift the leftmost five bits of the Morse equivalent into the carry flag one at a time. Fifth, you transmit dits or das based on the condition of the carry flag and for the number of beeps held by the counter you set up earlier. And then finally, you pick up the next letter of the message and continue the process. This looks like a reasonable structure. It should resolve into a simplified program, which I have on the book on page 119, and you can follow me there. At the label start, I point the X register to the label Morse, which would be the encoded Morse code table in memory. Then I point the Y register to text, which is the ASCII message in memory. The label again begins a loop. I load the B accumulator indexed by Y. I subtract from B an ASCII offset, and that the result in B is the actual position. So B plus X is the Morse table position. So I load the A accumulator indexed B, comma X. Then I save that encoded Morse in the B register by transferring A to B. I AND the A accumulator with 7 hex, and that keeps the code length intact. It strips out the encoded dits and das and just keeps the length intact. And then in the label new bit, I rotate the B register to the left, and that drops the first bit of the dits and das into the carry flag. And then branch if carry set to jump 1. Okay, so if it's a 1, it's a da. And then jump to subroutine dit if the carry is clear. And then simply execute the dit and da routines and branch to the next, which decrements the A accumulator, which contains the length. Don't forget the A accumulator was set up for the number of beeps. And then if the A accumulator is not 0, I know that there's more beeps to do, so I branch if not equal to the label new bit and rotate again the B register and so forth. And then finally, it ends with jump again, and I do the next character, and this continues until the message is over. There are a few things missing from this structure. As shown, there are no spaces obvious between letters or words. Even if silences were included in the beep routines, there wouldn't be any break between streams of beeps, so silence must be added. And then there's the question of what to do when the message is finished. In my example, the transmission continues right through memory, and somehow it's got to be made to stop. So, to achieve a pause, I've selected a yet-to-be-written subroutine called quiet. As for the message end, the greater than and less than characters aren't present in the Morse code system. So I've decided to use the greater than sign to indicate end of message, and the less than sign to mean repeat message. With that in mind, I've got a program for you to load.
Find program number 22 in the book and follow the instructions. This is an EdTASM Plus program. Turn this tape off until you are ready to load the program. Turn the tape off now. You should have loaded an EdTASM Plus program. Display this program using the P command. If it appears correct, please continue with this tape. Otherwise, rewind to the program listing and try again.
List this program on the screen by using the P command. You'll find that I put the message at 3000 hex, the Morse code table at 2F00, and the program itself at 2E00. Examine this program carefully and see if its compactness makes sense. Also, check your handwritten Morse table against mine. There's still more to do. What's left to write are the dit, da, and silence subroutines. Till next time.